Okay. My name is Henry Schäfer, and I will give the lecture today. You talked about viewing transformations lastly, and there you have the modeling transform that transforms an object into world space. So, for example, you have a sphere somewhere, and the sphere is defined in a local coordinate system. And you want to transform it into a global coordinate system, you apply a modeling transform. So every vertex is multiplied with a transformation matrix that transforms the sphere vertices. Now you want to have a camera somewhere. So in world coordinates, you might have a camera here, and it's looking in this direction. And you have a local coordinate system here. So you apply an additional transform to transform the sphere vertices into the camera space. And then you want to have something like perspective projection. So last time you talked about orthographic projections. Now you want perspective projection where you have vanishing points. So you want to project these points onto the image plane here, where you have your pixels. So the strategy is simple. We project your objects directly towards the eye, like here. And we draw the objects where they meet a view plane. So we would draw the sphere here. So this was done in the Middle Ages, and the principle is simple. And there we use the ratio of similar triangles. So you have the camera positioned at E, the eye, and you have a gazing direction, G, and an image plane at a distance, N. And you want to know what is the y value in distance z at your image plane, at your view plane. And the ratio of similar triangles says that the ratio between your y on the view plane to y is equals to n to c. So you can compute your magnitude of y by n divided by c times y. So the question is how to find a transformation matrix that transforms points like this. So we first want to, we have a few frustum for the perspective projection. And we want to find a matrix that shrinks objects at a distance. So in perspective, objects that are far away seem to shrink. And so you want to step from there to this volume. I made an image here too. And we want, finally, we want to apply a matrix to transform this volume into the canonical view volume. So do not want to change the near and far values, but we want these points to map to the volume. So, and we want a division by z. The matrix that solves this problem is given here. And there we use the similarity ratio too. And for example, if we have a point, we transform it to homogeneous coordinates. So we have an additional dimension for W. And we transform this point using this matrix. We get this point, And then we want to remove the additional coordinate. So we divide by n divided by c. And we get this 3D point. Now let's see if the bounds are correct. For example, if we want to evaluate this transformation at the near plane, and we plug n for c, we get what we expected. The point on the near plane stays where it is. And the point on the far plane, the upper bound, maps to the far plane in the set direction. For this matrix, we can apply, we have a equivalence relation, so we can scale it. This means we can transform this matrix into a more appropriate form by multiplying it with n, and this removes the division here. So now if we have, again, the point x, y, z, 1, 1 for the homogeneous coordinate, this means that for constant distances, this results in a scaling of the x and y component and a shift in z. This also means that there are no flips in the x and y direction for negative z. And note that for OpenGL, you use a right-handed coordinate system, so you're looking in negative z direction. And the near plane is also specified, near and far plane are also specified in the negative directions. This transformation preserves the depth order. So if you want to sort your objects to decide which object is the frontmost object for drawing, this transformation can be used, and you can sort your objects. So what's the inverse of such a perspective matrix? For example, you render an image and you want to pick a point, and you want to know what's the distance of this object, or the 3D coordinate of this object. You can inverse this matrix, and this results in this matrix. So now we are in projective space, but we are not yet in the canonical view volume, so in the -1, 1 space. To transform from perspective space to the canonical view volume, we apply the orthographic projection you learned in the last lecture, and we combine these two matrices to the final perspective projection matrix into the canonical V volume. So how can we use it in, for example, in GL? First, we apply the model transform to the object's vertices. Then we transform the object into camera space. And finally, we apply projection to get the points in the canonical view volume. So your full matrix for viewing is your local transform would be here into world space, then your viewing transform, projection, and orthographic. So if you want to draw lines, you compute your matrices, combine the matrices, and draw lines from your current start position to your current end position multiplied by the matrix. So, the combined projection matrix maps your near plane to -1 and your far plane to 1. So your view frustum is given by -1, 1 cubed. But as noted before, OpenGL uses a right-handed coordinate system. So to account for the negative value in C, we have to flip the coordinates and use the absolute values of the near and far plane instead of the negative values handed over to OpenGL. So OpenGL uses a right-handed coordinate system everywhere except when transforming your perspective matrix to normalized device coordinates. So now let's come to some properties of the projective perspective transform. The concatenation of two projective transforms is still projective. If a projective transform is invertible, lines are mapped to lines, and planes are mapped to planes. But parallel lines do not remain parallel. Then we can define a point x, y, z, 0. This means that this point is at infinity. And we interpreted this point as direction. So if you want to specify a direction, you put 0 in the homogeneous coordinate. If you want to specify a vertex, a point, you put a 1 here. A point at infinity can be mapped to a finite point and vice versa. Lines are again mapped to lines, but line segments are split into two line segments at infinite length. I'll show an image later. So next thing about the properties is you have a matrix with homogeneous entries. So you have a 4x4 matrix, which makes 16 matrix entries. But this matrix is invariant to scaling. Therefore, you have one less degree of freedom, so 15 degrees of freedom. And for 2D, this is a 3x3 matrix. So you have 9 degrees of freedom minus the one for scaling. And this makes 8 degrees of freedom. And the mapping is defined by the mapping of 4 points. So we can map a square to a quadrilateral. This you need for texturing. So what about a few frustum? So your few frustum is this is your few frustum between near and far. And we want to define this few frustum, where we distinguish between extrinsic and intrinsic camera parameters. Extrinsic camera parameters are, for example, the camera's position and the rotation. Intrinsic parameters are, for example, the focal length and aperture. So for specifying camera parameters, we use a pinhole camera, so one vanishing point, and an image plane that is perpendicular to the viewing direction. We transform from world space to local camera coordinates using the extrinsic parameters. So what do we need? We need the camera's position. We need the viewing direction. And we need to know what is up in camera space. Then we can use in OpenGL the function clueLookAt to create a viewing matrix. And for this function, you hand over the I position, the look at direction, and the up vector. For the intrinsic parameters, we have an image plane at minus near. So if this is your gazing direction, we are looking into negative z direction. So your near plane is in GL is minus near and minus far. And this image plane is an axis aligned rectangular window on the image plane. And usually we use the z axis as viewing direction. The intrinsic parameters define how this frustum looks like. So we have a truncated pyramid. And this pyramid is cut by the far and near plane. The apex is at 0, 0, 0. So here's again an image in 3D of this 2D image for your view frustum. In OpenGL, you can define such a view frustum using the clue perspective function for a symmetric view frustum. Here we specify the field of view in Y, so your opening angle, and this defines this angle. And you use the aspect ratio of width and height of your image. And you give the near and far planes for truncation of the pyramid. In some cases, you want to use an asymmetric frustum. So so you don't have the same width and height. And you can specify an asymmetric frustum using shear frustum. So what are typical values for the opening angle? It typically is between 45 and 60 degrees. And if you want to use wide angle, you use something greater than 80 degrees or even greater when you have a fish eye or a Taylor lens. This is for angles below 30 degrees. And then the aspect ratio is easily computed using your image sizes. So for an 800 by 600 image, pixel image, you have an aspect ratio of 1.3. So how to specify the near and far planes? For near, you use some small value. So for example, you have a flyby camera, and everything that is in this range is not drawn. So if you have an object here, you won't see it. So you want to move your near plane as close to the camera as needed. And your far plane, it should contain your scene or how much you want to see. So if you put your far plane too close to the camera and you have objects outside, you also won't see them. So these objects are not visible. But you want to specify your near and far plane as tight as possible. I'll show later why. Then the normalizing transform. So bringing your perspective transform, projective transform into the canonical view frustum. We call this transform a normalizing transform. The advantage is that it can be expressed using a homogeneous 4x4 matrix, and the for a final projection on the image plane, we just discard the Z value. So we have it projected, the sphere projected, and we throw away the Z coordinates, so we have the pixel coordinates. We can do clipping against the unit cube. So this is transformed into the unit cube. And we can do clipping there, which is often you can do it faster there. And the relative depth between the object is maintained. So if you have an object in front, after projection, it still is in front of the object far away. So this is the mapping. Near is mapped to -1, far is mapped to 1. And this results in regions closer to the observer are enlarged and distance objects shrink, so, as you know it from the real world. So this normalize and transform, what we do, we have our combined orthographic and projection matrix, and we transform such a point. We get these values, and we call this clip coordinates. If we want to know the 3D position, we divide by C and get this 3D point. One thing to note here is that that we have divisions by set here, and this can be a problem. So if set is greater than 0, this means for the set component that the result is always greater than n plus f divided by f minus f. If that is below 0, this is also OK. But once we approach 0, we go to minus infinity and plus infinity. So and this can be a problem. I have an image here. So in camera space, we have our view frustum. And the frustum is defined from your near plane to the far plane. Here's our camera. We are looking in this direction. When normalizing your coordinates, the near plane maps to -1, the far plane maps to 1. And about 2n maps to the center of your canonical view volume. Now we have a line, this striped line. We still have a striped line in normalized coordinates, but our line segment from A to B, so from a point inside our view frustum to a point behind our camera, is mapped from A to minus infinity and B plus infinity. So for clipping, if we would use this direct connection A to B, we would clip from here to there. We would use this line segment from A to B, which is wrong. Correct would be to clip from A to -1, and if it goes from here to behind the camera, we have to clip from A to 1. So the properties of the normalizing transform. Directions, so homogeneous coordinate zero, might be mapped to finite points, and vice versa. If your set value is between near and far, it is mapped to -1, 1. So any point here is mapped to any point here is mapped to -1, 1. If your distance is between 0 and n, so somewhere in between your I position and the near plane, it is mapped to the interval -∞, -1. From here to here. So any point specified here is mapped somewhere here. And if your value is positive and behind the camera, it remains positive after mapping. So how to choose near and far planes? As you saw here, the mapping is nonlinear for the normalization. This results in a Z buffer with low resolution. So objects very far away collapse into one point. So objects very far away might map to the same pixel. And drawing will fail for far objects due to insufficient resolution in the Z buffer. So in GL, you get a depth value in your pixel shader between 0 and 1 in GL. And let's say you have your near plane at a value 1. You start your near plane at 1, and it goes to maybe 5,000. When you have your 0.5 value in Z would be at 2. So you have a high resolution. You have many floating point values between 1 and 2 in a pixel shader between 0 and 0.5. And this is a problem. So you, if your objects start to appear at maybe 100, at a distance 100, way map to somewhere here is 0.999 something. So you want to choose your near plane as far from the camera as possible, so you increase the precision, but you don't want to miss objects. So the bounds should be as between near and far should be as tight as possible. As I've shown before, if we clip after perspective projection in normalized coordinates, this will not work due to the nonlinear transformation of Z, because lines are mapped to lines, but line segments might not be mapped to a line segment. And in the next lecture, you will learn to clip, to do clipping in clip space. So that's all I had to do for today. So do you have any questions to the slides? OK, then that's it for today.